It's so good to see you all today. We did have a lot of fun in our game day. We had a ton of fun in our game day. It was really unfortunate. I went home a little hungry. So JJ, don't fail us again, bro. Hey, for real, it was really special. You know, the Brooks started Bell Park Baseball about 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And it was started as a way to try to reach out to our community. And the league has grown just in crazy ways. We no longer run the league, but we continue to sponsor it and have people from our church family part of the league. But what I love is seeing kids from the league come on out to like our game day, and they're playing, they're hanging out, the families, parents. And, you know, we want to be a visible witness in our neighborhood. And the game day was one way we do that. We want to do that throughout our lives and all that we do. And these things are strategic. And some of you are here today because of a game day or a Bell Park Baseball or a Winter Wonderland or some sort of thing that we try to do to make ourselves visible in the community so you can see what followers of Jesus are like. And you came to find out we're not as weird as you initially thought we were, at least most of us still, right? And so I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad to open God's Word. You know, I remember when our boys were younger, they were big time into Legos. They still enjoy them. I mean, Legos are fun. I mean, do you ever grow out of Legos, you know? And I remember when they first began to learn to put together sets on their very own. Initially, I used to walk them through instructions. I'd put aside the piece that they needed. But eventually, they wanted to do it themselves. And I remember there were times where they would go through it, and they're about halfway through the Lego, and it comes to me frustrated because they're like, something's off. Something is wrong with the Lego piece. And what we'd have to do is kind of work backwards to see where something went off. And almost always is they had the piece, the correct piece, but they put it in slightly the wrong place or the wrong way. Maybe it was supposed to be on the left side of the vehicle, but they put it on the right side or something like that. They had the right piece, but they put it in the wrong way. You ever build IKEA furniture? Yeah. You ever have to reverse engineer that dresser? Yeah. We did that for our gazebo we had bought, not on IKEA, but recently we were building it. And we're like, wait a minute, something's off here. We had the right piece, but it was in the wrong way. You ever done the right thing in the wrong way? You ever find yourself having something where your actions are not wrong, but your attitude was not right? Where your movements were not wrong, but your motivations were not right? Where your pursuits were not wrong, but your heart's posture wasn't right? When those things happen, something has distracted us, causing us to deviate in a disorienting direction. Something has caused us to do the right thing in the wrong way. You know, we are in a series on distraction. And we have, over several weeks, begun to pinpoint things that cause our attention to come off of God. And we want to bring our attention back to God so that we can commune with Him, get to know God personally. And that is done primarily through prayer and through reading His Word and spending time with God and His people. But have you ever come to a place where you find yourself talking more about God than talking with God? That's what happens when we're doing the right things in the wrong ways. You ever find yourself studying God's Word to teach it, but not to be taught by it? You ever find yourself serving faithfully, but serving joylessly? It happens when we find ourselves giving to give, or doing to do, praying to pray, going to go, but our heart is just not in it. In those moments, joy has evaporated from us like water from a boiling pot. A lot of times in those moments, when the Lord opens my eyes, I cry, oh Lord, help. I'm so distracted. God, help. my attention has deviated from you. We've succumbed to doing the right thing in the wrong way or for the wrong reasons. You know, the scriptures tell us in Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Or in Deuteronomy 28, 47, God rebukes his people because, it says, you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart. That's why Paul writes in Colossians 3, 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything. Can you say everything? Amen. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. So this morning I want to ask, how do we resist the temptation to faithful service with a fickle heart? How do we resist letting faithful serving turn into distracted doing? Well, in order to take a look at the kinds of things that we could do right but in the wrong way, we're going to spend the rest of our morning in the book of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And I'm going to invite you, Brook family, to open your Bibles, meet me there. Open your phones, turn on your apps, meet me in Luke 10. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet as I read from Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. The book of Luke is the third book of the New Testament. And here we are in verse 38 of chapter 10. God's word says this. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted. Can you say Martha was distracted? Martha was distracted. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Father, we come this morning, and Lord, we're here today in part, perhaps, because this is what many of us do on Sunday mornings. But God, if we're honest with ourselves, we're here today because we want to hear from you. God, we want to encounter you. Lord, we have a kind of expectation today. And it's that you, in your immense grace, beyond what we deserve, would come into this tiny building, this rectangular shaped space, and that the God of the universe who holds this world and universe in his hand would actually come into these four walls and meet us here. That's the longing of our heart today. And God, some of us come and we feel so far from you. We've made decisions, choices that have cause us to drift away. We've been so consumed with stuff. Not even sinful things, but things that have pulled us from you. Lord, we just want to encounter you today. Some of us are here today, we're longing for personal revival. We feel like a wilting tree. We are parched like a deer that has just run through the woods. We feel like we have traveled through deserts and we are longing for a sip of your water. Oh God, would you meet us here today? And Lord, as we pray right now, I do want to lift up our brothers and sisters in West Palm Beach, the Light Church. Thank you for Pastor Jeremy and Angelica. Thank you for their faithfulness to you. And Lord, I know that they left Chicago with a dream, a vision from you to be light in a dark place. And I pray that today they would find so much fulfillment in the work they're doing for you. Even if they're in a valley, may they be able to look up and see your smile. God, would you encounter them in their worship? Would you speak through Jeremy in power? May they encounter you as a church. May they reach their community. Bless them. And bless us here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may take a seat, Brooke family. We come to Mark chapter 10 this morning, and we see some familiar characters that we've talked about in recent weeks here at the Brook. Two women, Mary and Martha, they're sisters. They've got a brother named Lazarus. You know, the Lazarus come out, Lazarus, that's their brother. They live in a city called, a little town called Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. And we're told in Luke chapter 10 that Jesus travels not just to their village, but to their home. And in verse 39, we're told that Martha welcomed him into her house. And Jesus began to teach. Specifically, like when it says Jesus that she welcomed Jesus, it's like Jesus and his entourage, his 12 disciples, and likely some others that might have joined with them. Martha is the hostess with the mostest. She opens her home, gives them a welcomed space, and there Jesus begins to teach. And we're given this detail in verse 39 that Martha's sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. We'll talk about Mary more in a moment. But verse 40, we're told that Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." Martha's not happy. She's there preparing the food, getting the snacks ready. And as she is in the kitchen, she looks and sees her sister sitting down at the feet of Jesus, the guest that they are supposed to be serving. And Martha's like, "Oh, no, you don't. We got food to prepare. We have to make them feel at home. Mi casa es su casa," right? And so Martha is there, and slowly she's becoming really upset with her sister Mary. She's like Old Faithful, that geyser in Wyoming, where the steam beneath the surface begins to boil, and Old Faithful 20 times a day bursts out of the surface and shoots steam into the air, and Martha is beginning to boil. She's frustrated. Her boil is leading her to feel resentful toward her sister, frustrated with her sister, and anxious about the situation. You ever been in that kind of place where your geyser is about to burst? Sometimes you may find yourself withdrawing when that happens, making critical comments, becoming passive aggressive, angry responses, irritated with every little thing. I imagine Martha in La Cocina, right, taking her cabinet and closing it loudly. And then looking to see if Mary watches. She's got the pots and she's banging them loudly like, "Mary, aren't you going to turn around?" She comes out with her platter of food and purposely drops a grape at Mary's foot, saying, "Are you picking up what I'm dropping here, Mary?" she's thinking, I don't mean to spill the beans, but Mary's got no plate of beans to spill. She's thinking that Mary and not being helpful are like two peas in a pod. Mary's not helping serve dessert, and Martha realizes she might need some humble pie. Martha is about to erupt. And what Martha proceeds to do is to give two extremely bold accusations and an even more bolder command. Look what Martha says in verse 40. The first bold accusation, she says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? Do you see what Martha is doing here? She is so upset that she's now blaming Jesus for not caring that she is by herself in the kitchen. She makes a bold accusation that Jesus doesn't care about her plight. You've never done that, right? And then she makes a second bold accusation. My sister has left me to serve alone. In other words, Mary is being selfish right now, thinking only of herself. Two bold accusations followed by an even bolder command. She says, tell her then to help me. This phrase, tell her, in the Greek language is an imperative, which means she is commanding Jesus, demanding that Jesus rebukes Mary and tells Mary to go to her rightful place in the kitchen. Martha is not having it, Brooke family. You ever come to a place where you're doing the right thing in the wrong way? Martha's serving Jesus, Brooke family. But she's got no joy in her serving. In fact, for Martha, serving Jesus distracted Martha from seeking Jesus. I want us to get a little more personal here, Brooke family. Because how can we know when our serving is done with our heart not in it? Well, we're already told here in Luke, in verse 40, that Martha was distracted with much serving. She was serving God faithfully, but she was distracted by all the things around her, so that what she was doing no longer brought her joy, and she was no longer doing it for the right reasons. In fact, when Jesus speaks to her in verse 41, he says, Martha, Martha. And when Jesus says your name twice, he's trying to get your attention. You are anxious and troubled about many things. Martha, you're anxious right now. You're troubled right now, Martha. And Brooke family, we can know when we're serving with the wrong heart. And it's when it's our hearts are anxious about what we're doing. So here's the first thing we want to learn from Martha and Mary is to acknowledge how anxious and distracted you are, and how that prevents you from serving Jesus joyfully. Just acknowledge it. Maybe you are serving on a team here at the Brook, and you show up, and you look around, and you're like, hey, where's so-and-so who's supposed to be serving with me in my team? Now I'm by myself to figure this out because they're running late, and you're troubled, and you're anxious, and no longer is your serving done for the Lord, right? I mean, maybe you have served faithfully for several years, 2 weeks on, 4 weeks off, 2 weeks on, 4 weeks off, over and over, and you look around saying, well, where are other people in this rotation? Well, notice what Jesus doesn't tell Martha to do. He doesn't say, Martha, stop serving. What he tells Martha is to refocus. This word serving is service rendered to another person, often done out of love. Martha's serving is not the wrong thing right now. She's not rebuked for serving. In fact, when we serve God with our gifts, we bring honor to God, the giver of our gifts. How sad it is to have gifts and not use them when the giver has given you this gift. Serving is an opportunity to show love to others as we exercise those gifts. Serving lends itself to help us grow in spiritual maturity and become selfless. And you've heard it said before that selfless is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Jesus serves faithfully throughout his earthly ministry. Long days, wearisome hours at times. Teaching people, feeding people, showing compassion to people, listening to people, praying with people, caring for people, crying with people. Serving is not the issue here. And Brooke family, I know many of you all are diligent servants of the Lord. It continues to blow me away to see how many of you all truthfully serve week in and week out. On our planning center that we use to schedule people, we have about 100 of you who are in some sort of rotation, fixing the building, working with AV, on the stage with the band, prayer team, Brooke Kids, nursery, connections, hospitality, and the list goes on. But what we don't want is our serving to turn into anxious troubles that distracts us from the one that we are ultimately calling to serve. And Jesus doesn't tell Martha to stop, but there is something that Martha needs to learn here. Jesus says, you are anxious about many things. And I wonder, what was Martha anxious about? Clearly, she's bothered Mary's not helping, but what's at stake for Martha right now? And the Bible doesn't tell us, but I can begin to speculate. Maybe Martha's like, Jesus is here. He's got to feel at home. Maybe Martha feels like they're hungry. Let's make sure their bellies are full so they can learn. Maybe Martha's like, hey, I feel the responsibility as the matron of this home to do what is culturally expected for me to do. Maybe Martha's got a reputation of being a good cook, and she's like, hey, I need to uphold that. Maybe Martha is just worried that she bit off more than she could chew. I don't know what it is, but there were many things, not just one thing, but many things that caused Martha to be anxious and troubled. And my Brooke brother, my Brooke sister, I want to ask you today, as you strive to serve God, what things are giving you anxiousness in your serving? What are the things that are causing your mind to lose focus? See, Martha doesn't know when to pump the brakes, and we'll talk about that in a moment. She's anxious. Martha lets herself get worked up, which leads her to get stressed out. And Martha overlooks, ultimately, Jesus says in verse 42, the most important thing. Now, before we get too hard on Martha here, all right? Some of you are like, please, I need this because you're Martha. Martha clearly has a gift of hospitality. And how many of us have been blessed by those with the gift of hospitality? I think of everybody who has currently and in the past hosted a real community group in their home. We know that grind of opening your doors, making sure the house is clean, or at least hiding the mess somewhere where it can't be seen. We know when you just have to bite your tongue when the walls get nicked or that thing gets broken, because you realize, like Martha, like, I love opening my home. Yeah, take off your shoes maybe, but come on in. Martha's home becomes a gathering space, listen to this, for the people of God in this moment. the Messiah, the Savior of the world that all of history has longed for, is in Martha's living room teaching people about the kingdom of God because she was hospitable. Disciples are being made in Martha's home because she opened her front door. She was overwhelmed with the longing to create a space that was conducive for people to learn from Jesus, the master teacher. Martha's gift of hospitality was ultimately the precursor for the birth of the church, Brook family. And some of you all have these gifts of Martha, and I want you to know that you are essential to the life of the church. And oftentimes, your gifts are not seen because you're often in another room preparing a space for someone else. Jesus doesn't rebuke her serving or her hospitality. What Jesus wants her to do is understand the right order of things. So, Brooke family, I want us to feel these two dangers. I think sometimes when we find ourselves getting distracted with serving or anxious and troubled, we think what we ought to do is to cease to serve to regroup. And there may come a time for that. I'm not denying that. But more often than not, that's not what's needed. What's needed is the other thing we see in this text. And it's what Mary is doing. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. So how can I resist letting faithful serving turn into distracted doing? Well, above all, I must prioritize time at the feet of Jesus. See, the remedy for an anxious heart is spending time with Jesus. Yeah. A remedy for being troubled in life is spending time with Jesus. The remedy for being distracted is spending time with Jesus. It is not to stop serving. And Mary's got a track record of sitting at the feet of Jesus. I pointed this out about a month ago, but I love this about Mary of Bethany. She shows up three times in the Bible and speaks one sentence. And that one sentence, she looks at Jesus at the death of her brother, Lord, if you were here, he would not have died. That's the only word Mary speaks in the New Testament. But we all remember Mary because here she's at the feet of Jesus learning from him. When Jesus shows up at Lazarus' tomb, she runs and falls at his feet. When Jesus arrives. And after Lazarus is raised from the dead in John chapter 12, Martha opens her home and Mary goes to the feet of Jesus to anoint him with oil and perfume. Mary's got a track record of being at the foot of Jesus, and we ourselves also must prioritize this kind of posture. Jesus refuses to correct Mary. He doesn't say, you know, Martha, I was thinking the same thing. This food would have got out here much quicker if you had an extra set of hands. You know, Mary, Martha, that banging in the kitchen, you know, I was getting the drift too. I don't know what your sister was thinking. But he says in verse 42, well, let me back up verse 41. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Ultimately, what Mary understands is that time at the feet of Jesus must be the priority of our lives. Brook family, I just can't exhort you enough and myself enough to the fact that we have to spend time with our Lord every day, praying, reading his word, letting him renew our mind, causing our affections to go to him. I want to challenge you even this week to take time at his feet. And I want to challenge you to do that literally. If you're able to, at least once this week, spend your quiet time on the floor, sitting down, just with that posture. Take 20 minutes. Start with the 5 minutes of praying for the things in your heart. Read your Bible for 10 minutes and then pray for 5 minutes based on what you read. Sitting on the floor, learning from Mary. The truth of the matter is, it was a similar situation at the base of the cross where it was the women at Jesus' feet as he was elevated on that cross. And through that cross, he gave us continual access to God the Father, so that although Jesus does not physically walk with us, we can still spiritually sit at his feet. Because he has died on the cross for our sins, because he has risen from the dead, and because he is exalted at the right hand of the Father. Equally beautiful in this passage is that Jesus praises Mary's actions. She has chosen the good portion. It's like she's gone to a buffet and didn't waste her time with the bread. She wants the main portion. And Jesus says, that won't be taken away from her. But listen, you must understand, my family here, how radical what Jesus just said is. In ancient Near Eastern culture, and in many cultures still globally, it was expected for the women to serve. And in rabbinical culture, where the rabbi was teaching, it was expected that his disciples would be men because they would one day become rabbis themselves. And here, Mary is listening to her rabbi teach, and Jesus praises her learning under his teaching. It's as if Jesus is saying, these cultural norms need to be torn apart, and both men and women must be at my feet learning from me, because in turn, I expect them to go out and teach others. Jesus is praising Mary's action, and Martha, no doubt, is hearing it. But as I mentioned, Jesus doesn't rebuke Martha's serving, but Martha's posture of serving. You know, it's interesting. I mentioned John 12 when Mary anoints Jesus' feet. I love how it says Martha did a gathering for Jesus, likely in praise and celebration of him raising Lazarus from the dead. And in John 12, Martha, it says, served Jesus while Mary anointed his feet. And one commentator I read pointed this out, and I love it. And it's a bit reading between the lines, but what we don't hear in that passage is any complaint from Martha. And it's almost as if Martha understood, this is my gift, and I'm going to do so joyfully. And this is my sister's choosing. She's going to do that joyfully. Because ultimately, as we look at all of Scripture, we see that we're called to do this, to persist in faithful sitting at the feet of Jesus and faithful serving as the feet of Jesus. We are called to faithfully sit at the feet of Jesus and faithfully serve as the feet of Jesus. And what I mean is we're called to regularly spend time with him in his word and in prayer, but also regularly go out as representatives and do the work that he's called us to do. These are two sides of the same coin. To sit without serving will presume upon God's gifts. That's basically saying, I'm going to keep learning, but I'm never going to put it to work. And God's like, I didn't make you for that. But to serve and never sit is to neglect the call that God's put on your life. To learn from him. Faithful serving coupled with faithful sitting leads to joyful discipleship. And that's what God has called us to do. Yeah, sometimes we got to slow down. No doubt. But even then, we must understand all that we do for God as an act of worship to him. And when you find yourself getting frustrated, maybe you look around and saying, man, why aren't others stepping up? I know many have been in those places. rather than becoming passive aggressive, closing the cabinets hard, do what Martha eventually did. Bring your frustration to Jesus. And then put your arm around your brother, put your arm around your sister, and say, hey, let me walk with you and help you see how it is that we serve the Lord joyfully. I want to charge you all. This is your home church, Brook family. Use the gifts that God has given you to bless the socks off your brothers and sisters here so that God will be glorified through your service. And let's keep our eyes on Jesus in all that we do. My church family, you ever find yourself doing the right thing in the wrong way? Martha did. And what Martha had to do was acknowledge that she had become anxious and distracted from joyful serving. Martha had to learn that she needed to prioritize time at Jesus' feet, but also understand that it is not either or, that she can faithfully sit at the feet of Jesus and faithfully serve as the feet of Jesus. Well, let's do the same, my church family, and give God all the glory as we sit and serve and serve and sit and experience that kind of joyful discipleship. Let's pray together. Father, I do want to thank you, Lord, for just opening our eyes, God. We don't want to coast through life distracted by good things. God, we don't want to become resentful because our hearts are tired. God, we don't want to become just embittered because we neglected time with you to experience your grace and healing and love and affection. God, I do ask that this week that we'd set a goal every day to take 20 minutes with you, literally sitting down, praying, reading, not doing to do, but to spend time with our Savior. So, Father, this is our prayer that our hearts would be awakened to how badly we need you and how good it is to experience your power. Meet us here.